we could sing, I know it was the blood before the pastor comes tonight. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight for the blood?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's power in the blood. Amen. I know it was the blood.
White as snow, and the Lord bless each and every one this evening. We give you all a very warm welcome in our service tonight, and those listening in. I know a lot of people have come down with COVID, and thank the Lord it's really just like a cold or the flu. Probably if we didn't know about the name COVID, we would just say we got the cold or we got the flu. But this, the whole COVID thing's everybody hyped up, and all these rules and regulations, but I don't abide by them myself, mind you. And I said it publicly, and I mean it, and I'm not changing from it. There's none for me. Boris Johnson made them, and he never kept one of them. He's now under police investigation. Over 100 times. Not once or twice. It's 100 now. They reckon 100 times the rules were broke. And that's the man that's trying to tell people what to do. And then some rules says 10 days you isolate, some says 5 days, some says if you're vaccinated and you don't test positive, you can socialise the next day. So how would you follow that? It's hard to follow it, but it's down to every individual. It's like the vaccine. Somebody wants to get the vaccine, go ahead and get it. Somebody doesn't want to get it, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That's how it is. Amen, brother. And I haven't. I've got a seal. I never got a vaccine, but I got a seal. It's called the Holy Ghost. Amen. The seal of God. Praise God. Let's turn in the Word of God tonight till Exodus 25. And the Lord bless each one tuned in. You know, somebody said to me, I put a nail through my finger the other day. And somebody said to me, have you got the tetanus? What do you call that thing you have to get? The tetanus. I said, I got it a couple of years ago. I've, all right, you know why? Because it lasts for years. 10 years. But that's a vaccine. It's worth taking. But there's vaccines, and you get number one, number two, number three. Now they're talking about number four. Well, to me, that doesn't work. How could you follow that? You'd be like a pincushion. No, right. Amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When you receive Christ once,
amen.
That's it.
That's right.
All time. Glory to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Tonight I want to talk about the coverings of the tabernacle, and I'll be honest, I went up into my office today and I had this all prepared from last week. I never preached it last week. Then I wanted to follow on from the sockets that I preached on a couple of weeks ago, and I went up today to do that, and I really had a time the day, you know, in the presence of the Lord. And the wife called me and I got into that, and I had this here, and I didn't know which message to bring in, that many messages and that much stuff opened up. And maybe this is slightly different tonight, but maybe on Thursday at the Bible study I'm going to pick up from that other message about them sockets. We're going to look on Thursday night, the Lord willing, about the inside. Now you'll not know anything about the inside looking up at the ceiling inside unless you're saved. And when you look from the outside of this tabernacle, all you see is badger skins, and it's unattractive. To the man that's outside Christ, it's unattractive. But when you come inside and look up at them beautiful colors, it's beautiful. We're going to look at that on Thursday night, but I'm going to look at these coverings briefly this evening. Verse 1 to 5 of Exodus 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering, and this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood. Let's bow our heads this evening, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you never change. Whatever you said remains the same forever. We bless you tonight that you promised us, where two or three of us is gathered in your name, that you will be in the midst and not to bless us. So we receive your blessing in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for this wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Exodus. Help us this evening as we look at your word. Let it be unfolded before us by the Holy Spirit. Show us thyself and thyself alone. Hide us behind the cross, that the glory of the Lord may be seen tonight. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you that you do. I thank you for the seal of God. It's a seal unto the day of redemption. Father, I bless those that's here and those tuned in tonight. Heal those that need your touch, as our brother has prayed. Touch them and bless them, from the youngest to the oldest, and do them good. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, praise God, and you can read down through chapter 26 as well, if you want to, this evening. But here, first of all, in our picture this evening, you can see the coverings of the tabernacle. And when you look at this tabernacle in the wilderness, and we can put that first picture up again, brother. When you look at this first tabernacle, that one, yes. This first picture of this first tabernacle in the wilderness, there's so many things in this that speak to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. This, they say, is the most perfect building ever made. Because God gave this to Moses, the measurements, everything about it, how to build it and how to make it. From the outside, look.
Jesus says, I'm the door. By me, ye may enter in. So all these things speak to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could take a sermon, and every one of these, even without notes tonight, I could go through all of this and speak. I've spent hours studying this over the years, and it blesses me every time. I'll be honest with you, when I went up this evening, I cried before the Lord. Because he started to open up things in this. It just started to open up. And I thought, I've studied it, preached many sermons on it. Things I've never seen just come out of it. That's God's word. It's unfolding. Christ is ever unfolding. He has a continuous revelation. Amen. The person of the Lord Jesus. He's wonderful. And I love him tonight. Love him. Warm my heart. Praise God. I want to look at these coverings of the tabernacle here this evening. And if Matthew puts that other picture up now, and there was four in number, each one of them different from the other. And here you see these four coverings tonight, and these four coverings may represent different views and different aspects of the character and work of Him who is wonderful, the Lord Jesus. Just as we have in the Gospels four independent records of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have in these colors four different aspects of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each gospel, like each curtain, is complete in itself, but all are needed to give a fully toned testimony of the Lord Himself. They all come together and they speak to us about something of the Savior. I want you to see this evening in this badger skin, and that's the very top covering is the badger skin, the very end one. At the very back of this picture is the badger skin. And this badger skin covering we see in Matthew's Gospel, that Christ is a king in disguise. He's a king in disguise. There's a beauty in Christ that you'll not know till you come to Christ. For the unsaved, there's no beauty in Christ, but to us that are saved, there's a beauty in Christ. You see, Paul says the gospel is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. He, in the covering of the ram's skin, also dyed red. We have in Mark's gospel, Christ as a suffering servant. In the third covering of the goat's hair, white. We see in the Gospel of Luke, Christ is a Son of Man, pure, holy, obedient, and pleasing to God. He's a sinless one. He's a spotless one. He's a pure one. And I've said when I preached on healing that there's one thing. This is very unique about the Savior. Jesus Christ never had one sick day. Every one of us has had sick days because we're born in sin and we're shaped in iniquity. But Jesus Christ never had a sick day. He was weary, he was tired because he was in a body of flesh. But he never had a sick day because sin had no dominion over him. And not only had sin no dominion over him, sin had no claim on the person of Christ. Because he was sinless and he was blameless and he was harmless and he was undefiled. Without spot and without wrinkle. But that one that had no sin and no blemish, he took our sin on himself. And he that had no sin became sin for us. Therefore the badger skin and this red and this white, it all speaks of the Lord. But I'm going to keep to the subject at hand tonight, and I pray the Lord will help me to do that this evening. Sometimes it's not good to get down different paths when you're preaching. This in the innermost covering, and this white linen is the innermost covering. I'm going to look at it more, the Lord willing, on Thursday night. We recognize in the Gospel of John, Christ, the Son of God, and the image of the Invisible One. And you see, God was invisible, and for years God was invisible, but He that was invisible, we saw Him in the person of the Lord. Because Jesus said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Because Jesus Christ displayed God and He showed God because He says God was in Him. God was in Him. Spurgeon said that wonderful statement, the God-man the God-man. He was every bit man, and he was fully God at the same time. Let us look at these separately this evening as we study this. And may the Holy Spirit help us tonight. The covering of the fine twined linen. This gorgeous covering of blue, scarlet, purple with its cherubim interwoven. And you can see on this cherubim interwoven here. You see the cherubim interwoven into this. And also you'll see in the veils, and this is a veil. This is a veil here. Now I'm not preaching about the veils tonight, but there's two veils. There's a veil into the holy place. And then there's a veil into the holies of holy. If you could put that other picture up, Brother Matthew, of the structure. There's the structure. So there's a veil. This first veil takes you into the holy place. When you go into the holy place, you have the table of showbread on your right hand side, and there's 12 cakes on it. And the 12 cakes speaks to us of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then you have the menorah, the 7 golden candlesticks. And the 7 golden candlesticks speaks to us of the 7 church ages. And not only does it speak to us of the 7 church ages, but it gives you light so that you can eat the bread on the table. It gives you light to reach the hidden manna and the food of God. And without the light, you can't see the table. Now there's something about that light for them candles. It's a temporal light. It's only a temporal light. I want you to get that this evening. And this is not part of my subject. I'm just running through it for you. And then when you get up to the end of this inner holy place, this in here is the holy place. Then you have that which is called the golden altar of incense. And there's 4 horns on it. And there's a crown around it. And it's covered in gold. Speaking of the deity of Christ. And we know that incense is a type of the prayers of saints. And when you get up to there, then there's another veil. And on that veil as well, there's cherubims woven into it. And the cherubim speaks a lot of something. I'm going to show you that in a moment. And I'm going to speak a bit more about it on Thursday night, the Lord willing. But when you get beyond that second veil, you're into the holiest of holies. And you're no more working with a candlestick. You're working with the Shekinah glory of God Himself. Amen. No more a temple light, but the light of the world itself. The Shekinah glory. And you're into the place for arms wrought buttock, the mercy seat. And 2 cherubims fold over that mercy seat. And every one of them studies on their own. Praise God. I haven't time to go into them all this evening. But I want to just briefly look at these colors. This color blue. You know, first of all, you know that blue speaks to us of the heavens. And the first man is of the earth, earthly. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. Jesus Christ came from heaven above. He came down that we could go up. We could not go up till he came down, but he that descended also ascended. Amen. And he's going to lift us of this earth, and he's going to take us home to be with his glorious self. Those of us that are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a rapture of the church, a catching away of God's people. Amen. Why? Because he came down. Come down to save us. This blue speaks to us of the Lord from heaven. Also, it speaks, you know, it points your eyes upward. A brother said this morning, when you hit rock, you can't go no lower, you're going up. When you look up, and the psalmist David says, I will look unto the hills, and whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. You know, there's something about blue. When my son sends me pictures from New Zealand and little video clips, the first thing I notice is the blue skies. The bright blue skies, and it does something for you. And that's why people love to go on holidays. It's not really so much to see, you know, some of the things about shops and things, but it's the blueness of the sky and the sunshine. It does something for you. It's good for you. It's vitamin D. And here in Ireland, we get it out of a bottle. But if you're living in Australia or New Zealand, you wouldn't need it out of a bottle because you'd get it from the sun. That's the truth now. And it's very important, vitamin D. Life in India. It's your ticket. It's good for you. Vitamin D. But we look up to the heaven. How calm and impressive is the deep blue of the heaven Clouds may obscure it, but they never can pollute it. It is high above all. And Jesus Christ is high above all. There's nothing higher than the Lord. His name's above every name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No human eye can pierce it. It is lamentable, unchangeable, and it's eternal. How like the divine nature of the Lord himself, the Son of Man. How like him who was with the Father before the world was. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, for the first man is of the earth, earthly, the second man is the Lord from heaven. We know the Bible says that all things were made by him, and all things were made for him, and without him wasn't anything made that's made. And you know what it even says? They're maintained by him. They're maintained by the Lord. He does it this evening. In Christ we see the visible glory, the deep blue of unfathomable divinity, because God's in him. He's not just any man, but he's a God man. He's special, he's unique. There's not another one like him. He's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Then we see this scarlet. This color constrains us to look downward and to think of the red earth from which man at first was made. And Adam came from the red, from the ground. That's where Adam came. If the blue tells us of Christ's divinity, then the scarlet proclaims the human part of Christ. And the Bible says he's made of a woman. How many knows that? Made of a woman. Yet he was God in flesh. The one points to him as a son of God. The other points to him as a son of man. The hunger, the weariness, the tears of our blessed Lord tell how truly he was human. But yet he was God in flesh. You know, everybody preaches about the woman at the well. But you know, the Lord sat on the well because he was wearied with a journey. He was wearied with a journey. And they asked for the drink. And she said, it's not customary that you, but a Jew, should ask a Samaritan for a drink. John chapter 4, I believe it is. And then the Lord said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask of me for a drink. And I would have given you living water. Amen. And if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. Aren't you glad this evening that you partook of the living water? Amen. Then we have the purple. Here we shall look. This is a new color formed by the mixing together of the blue and the scarlet. When you mix the blue and the scarlet, you get the purple. And you see, of God in flesh. God in flesh. God came down to our level. He left the glory and splendor of heaven above. He took upon him the form of a man. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's your purple. And it's also a royal color. Because he's the son of a king. How many knows he's a king of kings and the Lord of lords? Praise God. The union of these two colors forms a distinct one. How beautiful Christ is, divine. Christ is human. And Christ is both in one distinct person in the purple. Then we behold our Lord in his metaphorical glory. The mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed to us the word of reconciliation. Then we see these cherubims. And I'm not going to speak much of this tonight. I might go into this more in another service. But it was inward. It was wrought in with cherubims. They're woven into this picture. Brother has it up. They're woven into it. Perhaps this may signify that he is Lord over all the angels. And it does. He is Lord over all the angels. In addition, there were cherubims with outstretched wings, hovering, as it were, over the priest in the sanctuary, watching over him, watching every move he made. Cherubims in the Bible are guardians of the holiness of God. It was cherubims that protected the tree of life. It was cherubims that God said, lest to put forth and partake of the tree and live forever. Cherubims with flaming swords. And cherubims in the tabernacle. God's guardians. They're holy ones who are the tendons also in Ezekiel as well. You read of it in Ezekiel. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come. Now I'm going to go into a little bit about those four beasts, the Lord willing, and another on Thursday evening, but not tonight. The church was interwoven with the character of Christ and the purpose of God before this world was. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelations 13 and 8 tells us, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. God knows you. Not only does God know you, but God predestinated you to be saved ever before you're even born. That's how well God knows you. Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to become the sons of God. The Lord knows you, brother. He knows you, sister. Young man, the Lord knows you. Young woman, the Lord knows you. And he predestined you before the foundation of the world. He was a lamb slain even before the foundation of the world, the mind of God. That's a wonderful thought, how the unsearchable riches of his grace tells us we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You're chosen in him. Now I want you to get something this evening before I move any further in this service. God's love's different from man's love. You remember I preached about the love of God one Sunday when we did a drive-in service, and I showed you that the love of God doesn't go up and down. Amen. It doesn't waver in and out, but the love that God had for you the first day he loved you is the same love he has for you tonight. It doesn't matter if you've had a good week or a bad week or an indifferent week. God's love never changes for you. God's love remains the same for you. And the Bible tells me God is love. Loves you this evening. Sister, the Lord loves you. Brother, the Lord loves you. Young man, the Lord loves you. Young woman, the Lord loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What about verse 17? For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God loves you. It's not God's will that any should perish. Young man, the Lord doesn't want you to perish. Young woman, the Lord doesn't want you to perish. But the Lord loves you, and he wants to save you. And Christ came the whole way from heaven. From heaven to earth. He came down. He condescended. He lowered himself a little lower than the angels. He took upon him the form of a man, and he went the whole way to the cross because he loves you. Amen. He loves you. There's no love like the Lord's love. He died for you. He died in your place. He died in my place. He suffered for you. He suffered for me. He bled for you. He bled for me. He was wounded for you. He was wounded for me because he loves us. God's love. Praise God. I want you to see this covering of these goats' hairs. This covering was pure white. Pure white. The goats' hair. The badger skins is the one at the back. It's dark. There's nothing nice about it. Now on Thursday evening, I'm going to take you inside. And we're going to look up at the ceiling. And we're going to see some beauty. I cried today when I seen it. You never can see that inside till you're saved. The man and the woman that's on the outside only can view the badger skin. This is veiled back here. This is not the way it is. It's totally covered with badger skin when people look at this. But when you get inside through the veil into the holy place, and remember this evening that the veil was rent in twain at Calvary, and the way was made into the holiest of holies, a new and living way by the blood of Jesus. And we're privileged tonight that we can enter in. And we Because of that, we can go into the holiest of holies. We don't even need the candlelight. We can go right into where the Shekinah glory is. We can go right into where the hidden man is, to where the mercy seat is, to where iron rod put it. That shows you there's life. Life that will make a plant grow. Life that will make a plant grow. And of the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, Romans tells us, dwells in you and will quicken, make alive your mortal body. May we not see here the spotless holiness. We can see it of the Lord Jesus. Spotless holiness in this white. One fit to come into contact with, even to rest on the awful holiness and righteousness of God. But this curtain may also suggest us the character and privilege of the believer, made white through the blood of the Lamb. You're only made clean through the blood of the Lamb. You're not made clean by your works. You're not made clean by a church program. You're not made clean by an earthly priest. But it's only by the blood of the Lamb of God you're clean. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. It makes me clean. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The cleanness of the pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, this is what it suggests this evening. Fellowship with Him. The Lamb resting in fellowship with Him, who is both God and man in one person forever, as Spurgeon said and put rightly, the God-man. In heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Those of us that are saved, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus tonight. Heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that the Bible? Amen. The pure in heart shall see God. That's what the Word of God says. Who shall ascend into the holy hill of privilege? Who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Psalms 24 verse 3. Or who shall stand in the holy place? There's only one way you have clean hands. There's only one way that you can have a pure heart. That's by washing in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've never washed in the blood of Jesus, you're a sinner. You're a condemned man. You're a condemned woman. But the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. I tell you, God's given a way out this evening, a remedy for man. And that remedy, we were at a distance. We were under these rules at a distance. We were all at a distance. But Jesus bridged the gulf at Calvary to break down the distance so that we've no more of a distance. But we're made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Made nigh, that means you're close to God. Hallelujah. I want you to see the divinity of Christ in a holy place, devouring fire. Who shall dwell with it? God's holy. These are they which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation tells us. Revelation 7, 14, 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God. Look what it says. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said to me, these are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell amongst them. I tell you, there's a tribulation coming. There's a mark coming. This COVID's been a test to run. That's the truth now. You're blind if you don't see that. The COVID's been a test to run. To see how many people will obey the rules of the Antichrist. But there's one coming of mark. And people say we spiritually have it. Yes, that's true. But I believe there's a physical mark as well. The Bible says no man can buy or sell. Absolutely controlled and domineered by the devil. The Bible says those whose names is written in the Lamb's book of life won't wander after the beast, and they won't receive his mark. But they're marked. They're marked by the blood of Jesus Christ. And they're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's coming for his people. The Lord won't leave us, you know. wedding bride away. Hallelujah. Oh, I want you to see the covering of the ram's skin here this evening. Fine linen of goat's hair does not imply suffering, but skins cannot be got without sacrifice. Ram's skins dyed red. Think of this evening. Suggests both death and transformation. Jesus is before us here as a man of sorrows, with dyed garments, as a Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let us put the shoes of our feet, as it were, off us as we enter the Garden of Gethsemane, and there we see for the Savior suffered. He suffered. And he prayed so earnestly that drops of blood come down his brow. And see there the skin of the sacrifice being dyed red with the blood of agony. The blood of agony dyed the skin red on the Savior. In this covering we have Christ on the cross and the goat's hair, Christ in the resurrection in the fine linen, and Christ in the glory. But these ram skin dyed red speak to us as Christians also. We are indebted to the transforming power of the atoning blood for our fitness to dwell in the holy presence of the Lord. We're under Romans 4. We're under the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Where he doesn't hold against us our sin, but our sins are gone. They're removed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. And we've been transformed. Transformed. By the power of the blood of Jesus. The white curtain was under the red one. Purity in the sight of God can only be enjoined under the blood. We must be crucified with Christ before we can enter in to the resurrection life. Oh, we willingly we must die to self that we might be made alive unto God. As the white covering was kept clean by the crimson covering, so may we be kept clean by the constant trust and the ever-cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. We are continually kept clean. Did you get that this evening? Want the devil to get that? Want him to get it? Want him to choke on it? Not only did the blood of Jesus cleanse you the day you got saved, but there's a continual cleansing, a continual cleaning every single day by the blood of Jesus Christ. He cleans you. And he keeps you clean. I tell you, the Lord forgets your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. That's the secret. And the real revelation of the atonement of the cross. Past, present, future, gone. That's freedom. That's why there's so many Christians tonight. They're down and they're beat and they're defeated. Because they do something and it condemns them. It domineers them. It takes them over. But you need to look afresh to Christ and the cross. And you need to know that he took your place, not just for the day you got saved, but for all eternity. For all eternity. Thank God for the blood tonight. The white curtain was under the red one. Purity in the sight of God can only be enjoyed under the blood. Look at this covering of the badger skin. That's the very end covering on the building. Some think that the badger skin... We should read. You know, skins. It was evidently meant for a waterproof. That's what this badger skin is. It's a waterproof. It kept everything dry, everything sealed in. And for beauty. You know, it wasn't for beauty. The badger skin's not here for beauty. The badger skin's here for protection. There's beauty in Christ, but there's also protection in Christ. Protection from the wiles of the enemy. Protection from the wiles of the devil. That's why the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Then ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. I want you to see this evening. I'm going to close in a moment. I know my time's near up. This covering may typify Christ in his resurrection. When we shall see him, Isaiah 53 verse 2, there is no beauty that we should desire him when we see him. The Bible says he rejected. He have no form or comeliness or no beauty that we should desire him. to the world. There's no desire for the world when they look at them. And there's no desire when you look at this badger skin. But if you ever can get a revelation, this badger skin's protection. And Christ is protection. Protection from the devil. Without comeliness. That's the Lord. It had to bear the heat of the day as we're exposed to the storm and the tempest. Think of our loving, gracious Lord, how he was misunderstood. While being made a curse for us, he was misunderstood. They stoned him. They spat on him. They plucked his beard. They pierced his side. They pierced his hands. They planted a crown of thorns and they put it on him and they beat it into his forehead with a rod. Misunderstood. Many occasions they tried to kill him and he slipped away from them. When he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cast out demons, and they said, "Get him out of our coast, we want nothing to do with him." This is what they thought of the Lord. He was strong to bear. Thank God he was proof against it all. He answered not a word. The devil came, but found nothing to him, nothing in him. If to the world there was so beauty to him, to the Father he was all glorious. Psalms 40 verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." He only did the Father's will. He didn't go with the sway of the world. Brethren, this evening we cannot be under an Antichrist rule or an Antichrist system. We're under the blood of Jesus Christ. There could be a coming out, you know. You say, "What are you talking about?" You should put your spiritual hats on. Breaking loose of rules and regulations. Psalms, Matthew 3 verse 17 tells us, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know what else it says? Hear him. Hear him. You hear a man and he'll fail you. We saw it. Jesus will never fail you. Amen. Those who only saw the badger skin saw nothing to the hidden glory within. Christ may still be to the world a root out of dry ground, Isaiah 53 verse 2, but to the Christian who has access within the veil, he is altogether lovely. But the unsaved is nothing. I'm not finished, but I'm going to have to close this evening. But I don't want to keep this long tonight. But I trust you can see the Lord this evening in these colors. And I'm only hitting highlights. There's so much in it. Maybe Thursday night we'll continue on with it. Young man, young woman, this evening the most important thing in life is to be saved. Doesn't matter how much money you make. Doesn't matter what type of car you drive. Doesn't matter how well you look. The question is, are you fit for heaven? Are you born again? Are you saved? My, if there's a man or woman listening tonight, you're not saved. You need to get saved. You need to come to Christ. You know the wonderful thing about it, he'll take you. They'll take you just how you are. "Him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out." Let's stand our feet this evening while we pray. And last, for every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. And if anyone wants prayer, just lift your hand up before the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Maybe someone listening in tonight. You know, if God has spoke to you, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your hidden glory, for your beauty. You have no form nor comeliness that you shall be desired, but yet to us believers, you're altogether lovely. We thank you, Lord, this evening you're coming again. You're coming for a people that's made themselves ready. We bless you tonight. Father, I pray you'll speak to men, speak to women. Touch that man, touch that woman, touch that boy, touch that girl, and make them every whit whole in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for the hands raised in this house this evening. I'm asking you, dear, to meet every need. I'm asking you that you'll just undertake, Lord, and provide. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you know all of our needs. You know our situations. You're mindful of us. And we commit it all to you tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For those tuned in at home, maybe sick, Lord. Pray, Father, you'll touch them. Bless them and heal them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. We're going to come here Thursday night, even if it's just a few. And maybe we'll run it live as well for those that can't get. And we want to continue on with the Word of God. And I was going to do a communion soon, but I'm not sure maybe if I should leave it a week to see if everyone comes back. But I'll keep you posted. So we'll be here Thursday night, 7:30, the Lord willing. And the Lord bless each one as Brother Samuel comes as we close. And I really enjoyed the service this morning. A word of peace, and God bless each one.
Amen. The Lord bless each and every one again tonight. And isn't it wonderful with the tapes and the shadows and the Old Testament and the different things we can take out? But everything all points to Christ. There's a red line runs through the whole Bible from Genesis right to Revelation, and we can see Christ everywhere we look. Isn't it wonderful? God's great plan of salvation. Tonight we could maybe try and sing, "There's power in the blood." Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? There's power in the blood. Amen. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?